Oh, yeah.
So, we're here on the third chelek of this Rosh Hashanah series. And we've been discussing, really, our theme has been the understanding of Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaZikaron. I've noticed that Seth has managed to move himself out of the line of fire. It won't help. So, the first stage that we spoke about of Yom HaZikaron is that the simple meaning when the Maharal talks about Zikaron, the Yom Rishon, that the Yom of Rosh Hashanah is a remembrance of, a reconstruction of Maaseh Bereishis. And in terms of Maaseh Bereishis, it is therefore an assigning of potential, which explains the problems that we had initially as to why it is that we find that the din on Rosh Hashanah is so vague, it's so general, it doesn't seem to have specific application, which is the way some of the piyutim in the Machzor would lead you to believe, that it's very specific application. From the Gemara, it's clear that that's not the case. The specific application is simply the way that you apply it in response to your own utilization, just like the story of the water in the Gemara. A certain amount of water that you have is potential. Just as creation was created with a certain potential. What you do with creation and how that potential works itself out based on how you use it is a completely different issue. That's the case of Rosh Hashanah. In that, it's a recurrence of creation, and it's simple meaning that our involvement in that process allows us to be zocheh, to a new beginning. That was the simplest understanding. Then we went on, at the beginning of the week, to recognize, after analyzing the Rambam's definition of the shikul, of the din, of how it is that zechuyos v'avonos interrelate with each other, we came to understand that there are two levels of what might be called din. The truth is, Rambam never mentioned the word din. The Rambam only talked about the shikul, and we'll see what the difference is between the two. But we recognize that his initial statement was that a human being's existential self may include within it zechut and avon, but that nonetheless there would be no interrelationship between those two elements. In terms of Maaseh Bereishis, by the way, this was also the case. Because as we're told by Chazal, initially, Rashi brings us the simple meaning of the pasuk. The creation of Laila v'Yom is the assignment of gvulot, of boundaries. And additionally, we had Or v'Choshech b'shtamshim b'irvuvia. Well, it's difficult for us to conceive of what that might mean. Light and darkness, leading, mixed. But the fact is that a human being without din is Or v'choshech b'shtamshim b'irvuvia. We are shocked at our own behavior sometimes. So we can do the most wonderful things, and we can do the most horrible things. And we wonder at ourselves sometimes, how could those two personalities exist in the same human being? How could the same psyche include a person who can do these horrible things at the same time that includes a person that we know to be very wonderful? Each one of us knows themselves as being very wonderful in many ways. But each person is also aware of the most ridiculous things that we can do, each and every one of us, and that seems to be almost schizophrenic. It seems to be completely unrelated to the other elements of ourselves. This is precisely the idea of Or v'choshech b'shtamshim b'irvuvia. And what's amazing is that the pasuk that we say every day during this period, in Achona for Rosh Hashanah, Hashem Ori v'yishi. So Hashem Ori says Hashem Ori is this is Rosh Hashanah, is Rosh Hashanah. Because the truth is the definition of our Or, the sense, as in Maaseh Bereishis, that things are given a gvul, things are given definitions. That is exactly what the Rambam is defining here, happens on Rosh Hashanah. That's what he says, B'chol Shana V'Shana, B'Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah. It's not just B'Yom Rosh Hashanah. It's the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, as we pointed out. It's all review. But there is a sense of a tremendous gift here, in that not only is there a din at the end of a human life that provides an incorporation and a definition of a state that a life has achieved. We called it sort of the collapse of the human wave function, just as an example from physics. But it's the same idea. It's the examination of the state, and therefore the definition of it through the examination. But not only does that occur at the end of the story, but as the Rambam says, it occurs b'chol shana v'shana b'yom Rosh Hashanah. On the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, it occurs. So that means that there has to be a concept of the collapse of a state, a collapse of a potentiality into a state in the course of process, which was a strange idea, because process seems to be the exact opposite of collapse. Either you're at the end, and then we can define what you've achieved, or you're in the middle, and we can't define what you've achieved. So how exactly do we have meaning to a din, b'chol shana v'shana, which is the equivalent of kishem shebishat mitato, just like at the time of a person's death, there would be a definition of his self. And that's the tov yom hamavet miyom yivaldo. The day of death, at least a person has something. The day of birth is pure potential. And the only understanding, the only solution to that, is that it provides us with a linkage between two completely different elements of our lives. Normally, if it hadn't been for Rosh Hashanah, our lives would have been defined as Orva Choshech Mishtamshim Beruvia. In other words, we would have had no defined self. The meaning of having no defined self in psychological terms and philosophical terms is that we simply would not have sensed the meaning or the transcendence or the significance of our lives. We would feel that we're wandering around, as many people do, and we'll see why, but as many people do, they feel a sense of chaos. In modern terms, we identify it as existential angst. There's a feeling of, I don't know what I am. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have any sense of myself. I have a doubt about my own identity. The fact that we could escape that, and the fact that we even have a desire to escape that, or we believe internally that we're meant to escape that, is a direct result of Rosh Hashanah, because it provides for, as Tosva says, an element of shikul that offers us an insight into where we are in terms of the structure overall. And I mentioned to you last week that psychologically we know this, because we talk to ourselves, we ask ourselves for answers, we expect in ourselves that there are elements within our own psyche that knows from the outside what we're experiencing from the inside in a process. And by the way, in that sense, the word teshuva means literally answers. When we question ourselves on that level, the answers that we get, that's an element of teshuva, because we see ourselves from the point of view of outside the process. And we look at ourselves and say, what is this life going to be? And that awareness is an awareness of our future and our past, extending all the way really from Maaseh Bereishis until the end of creation, the totality of life and where we fit in it. And that was the U'bacharta b'chaim that we spoke about. That's our real sense of identity. It's a totality. So that totality indeed provides us with an answer. That's the teshuva. And it gives us bearings. It makes us feel that we're not simply adrift in a process. So that element of zikaron, we said, appears in Maaseh Bereishis as well. You'll notice that there's two stories of Maaseh Bereishis. The first story of Maaseh Bereishis is Bereishis Bara Elohim. And that Bereishis Bara Elohim talks about the world as if it was completed, where God says, let there be this. And then there's this. And the world makes this, this and this appears, and so on. But then starts a whole new story of creation, in which it's not Bereishis Bara Elohim, it's Biyom Ma'asos Hashem Elohim, Eretz V'Shamayim. It's not Shamayim V'Aretz, it's Eretz V'Shamayim. The Gemara Chagiga talks this out very clearly, in the Machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. What is the Iker? Shemayim Nivra Tchila, is Eretz Nivra Tchila. But and the Chachamim say, no, that's the point. These are concomitant realities, say the Chachamim and Chagiga. It means that there is no creation of a totality. There's no universe in a nutshell, in Hawking's words, that doesn't have within it a process, that if you'd be locked in the process, you'd have no idea of what was going on in the outside. Those are the two levels of creation. The fact that they're presented concomitantly means that you need to be able to access both. We cannot live without knowing about Bereshis Bara Elokim. But on the other hand, we have no individual lives without being part of that process, without recognizing the Sefer Todot Adam, this is the story of man. That's the process story. So therefore, the Yom HaZikaron is a Yom HaZikaron that provides exactly what creation did on two levels. It becomes clearer. Then we also came to recognize in the beginning of the week that the story of creation itself is a story of memory. That not only biological evolution functions through memory, through taking significant things and adding it to a data pool, which grows and grows and comes to define now new things, but that the entire story of the chaos of the universe is essentially a story of picking and choosing, just like an infant's brain develops through picking and choosing, not through adding, but through picking, and through rejecting certain neural connections, which are not nogea, the picture that's emerging. This is true of the universe as well. We don't live in a universe of virtuality. We live in a universe that has selected among virtual possibilities. So even though it's difficult for us to see, so how does our normal day-to-day life relate to the underpinnings of physics, which don't seem to have all of these interrelationships of causality and of specificity and so on, the way our universe does. Right. We may not understand the mechanisms, but we see clearly that there are two levels to existence. And that the level that we call the macrocosm, our own life, is a pick and choose among potentialities. So it's all formed by memory. The very fact that we believe and sense that we live in a world of cause and effect, even though we know underneath that world of cause and effect is just statistics. What creates the sense of cause and effect? Memory. It's the fact that we see a pattern and we select this pattern. Since it happens so often, and since its probability is so high, it registers to us as literal cause and effect. So that means that the Yom HaZikaron, the beauty of this idea, you can open up that curtain a little bit, you know, it's not going to come down some lightning from the sky because of the hole of the curtain. So the Yom HaZikaron is not simply a day to remember that there was creation, nor is it simply a day that we should come into recognizing that the function of memory is part of creation. The beauty of it is it's that the original day of creation is itself the Yom HaZikaron, before there was anything to remember. Because the elements that went into creation were created through Zichronos. So that means that we're told Zikaron HaMaaseh Rishon, which was the Yom HaZikaron. And that in our involvement in that process, we're supposed to say Zichronos. We become part of that which connects the two stories of Bereshis, just like it did in Sefer Bereshis itself. We were part of that process. We talked about Sivyonam, the Chol Tzva'am Sivyonam. There needed to be a recognition of what was happening. So the process and the end are intimately related all the way through. Not simply, we wait till the end of a process and then we see it. And this has remarkable implications, by the way, for modern physics as well. It's not just Nogeya Halacha Rosh Hashanah. It completely changes the way you look at reality, and Mamish answers a lot of the problems that have been devastating for the development of physics in the 20th century. This is the only approach that works, even on a physical level. The understanding of Zichronos and the interrelationship of process to end of process, and the problems that we have that confuse us with being lost in time. We think that we're stuck in time and there's nothing that is outside that incorporates the totality of what we experience as time. That's a mistake. So the Zikaron LaYom Rishon allows us, in a sense, to escape the moment and to be part of the entirety of the process as if from the outside. That's what we came to understand at the beginning of the week. Now, I want to go further into the next level of Zikaron and see why the Yom HaDin. And by the way, we still haven't touched the Gemara that says that Rosh Hashanah is also Yom HaDin. The Yom HaZikaron, that's in the Torah. The Gemara's question of, is Echad B'Tishrei Yom HaDin? And it's Raya that we spoke about from Tehillim. Of Kesed L'Yom Chagenu, Chok L'Yisrael, Mishpat L'Kei Yaakov, which is clearly not part of Yom HaZikaron. We haven't even touched that. So what we're dealing with is purely the Zikaron elements. The Rambam has very carefully avoided using the word din. And there's a reason for that, and I'll show you it as we continue. So there is, in fact, this is what I want to explore today, a completely different level of din. But before, we were holding towards the end of Halacha Gimel, we're on the last line, actually, of Halacha Gimel. And that line turns out to be very important in understanding the entire period, and therefore we need to look at it more carefully. At the end of Halacha Gimel, we read it very quickly. So it says, Mishinimtzat tzadik nechtam l'chayim, which was the clear indication to us that this was not a collapse of the waveform, because it wouldn't have been a chatima. It would have been an immediate miyad who made berisho, which is not the case. So he's nechtam l'chayim, Mishinimtza rasha nechtam l'mita, v'habenoni tolim oto ad yom ha-kippurim. The one whose state is in the middle. Remember, the Rambam said Beinoni does not mean somebody who has the equivalent number of Avonot and Suyot. It's someone who has gone through the Shikul and been found that his Avonot equal his Suyot. So that it has created a state called the state of Beinoni. This Beinoni, nonetheless, Tolim oto ad Yom HaKippurim. Alright? Tolim oto ad Yom HaKippurim. Im asa teshuva nechtam l'chayim. If he does teshuva, so then he is in the same chatima as the tzaddik. V'im lav nechtam l'mita. So the question is, why can't he do more mitzvahs? And this Rambam is saying, there's only one option. That option being that he should do teshuvah. He cannot do more mitzvahs. He cannot change his shikul. Correct? Otherwise he would have said, well, he's told him, we leave him, and then we look at him again. He was a very, very good boy during Aser Simei Teshuvah, and he changed his scale, then he gets into the tzaddik piece. If not, then he goes into the Russia piece, which itself seems very unfair. I mean, why, if not, he goes to the Russia piece? I mean, why can't we give him the benefit of the doubt, basically, and give him into the Tzaddik piece anyway? But I mean, there's something strange about this whole thing, if he does the Shuvah. Now, there are some who tried to answer that by saying that, look, you can't change anything by adding the Meisim, because on Rosh Hashanah, we measure those Meisim. But tshuva affects the past. That's not a good answer at all. Not at all. Because even if the tshuva would affect the past, it would only affect the past in the past. In other words, we can't say we're going to leave him until Yom Kippur if he does the tshuva. What was the din on Rosh Hashanah? If you're telling the Manashah, if there is a din on Rosh Hashanah and it's complete, this is the din. So then it doesn't help to do the tshuva either. And if you're telling me, well, we're not going to really complete that din, we're only going to kitzvus v'yurachim. We're only going to let him hang, and then we'll look at it again. So then it should help for him to do mitzvahs also. This is not a good approach. The Lecha Mishnah has a strange approach, which he comes at from a different question. But his approach is, look, this is the time that you can do teshuvah. So if you don't do tshuva, that's such a big avera that anyway it will override your scale. I mean, you know, okay, that's tough. That's a little tough. But for what he uses it, it's, you know, you might say it's okay. He's, because he says, if you don't do teshuva, so then that's machriya you to be a Rasha. But then you run into this problem, machriya you to be a Rasha, so you could be able to do other things that are machriya you to be a tzaddik. It doesn't really help anything. See? I mean, either the din is done or it's not a done din. Okay. So it's clear what the Rambam is saying, gentlemen. Rambam is simply saying that the case of the Beinoni is complete, just like the case of the Rasha and the case of the Tzaddik. Nothing is left open for the Beinoni. He has been defined. There were three books that were open on Rosh Hashanah. We don't throw out those books now after Rosh Hashanah. Say, now there's only two, we're going to select which one you go into. Of course not. There's still the Sefer of Beinoniim. That individual is a Beinoni is in that book. He's the Beinoni. That's done. That's not going to change. The question the Rambam is addressing is, so what about a Beinoni? What happens to a Beinoni's life? That's the issue. What type of life does he have? A life with the potential that a tzaddik has, or a life with the potential that a Rasha has, which is mavis. That's the issue. Somehow or other, the teshuva is not a way in which he's going to fix his past. The teshuva is a way in which the Beinoni is going to face the future. If he does teshuva, then as a Beinoni, he can live. Not because of changing anything at all, but because of providing him with the tools for living. You'll notice the Rambam has not said one word about the tshuva, the tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir nezroa, gezerah, and so on, because that has nothing to do with the service you made to tshuva. Nothing at all. The din that comes from, which is the Gemara in Yerushalmi, that tshuva, the tefillah, the tzedakah, ma'avir nezroa, gezerah, is not said about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. The Paitan took it out of context, put it into here, and now everybody thinks that's referring to that Teshuvah Teshuvah, where Teshuvah Tzvilah Tzedakah is Mavir the Gezerah of Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur. The Teshuvah Tzvilah Tzedakah that the Gemara is talking about is a general question of, is it possible after a Gezerah is given? A Gezerah can be given at any time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Nishba, something is going to happen. We know we can't change the Shavua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees something is going to, is there a way to get out of such a decree? It's not Nogea specifically as Aseret Yemei Teshuva. That's Nogea Stam. That would be Nogea Rasha. That would be Nogea Klal Yisrael as a whole. As a matter of fact, that's actually where the Gemara brings it from. Because the Gemara says, all of them, all these three things are Kulam B'Pasuk Echad them. They're all said in one Pasuk. What's the Pasuk? Vayikanu Ami. It's my nation. Has given in. They have been Machnia themselves. Asher nikra shmi aleihem v'yitpalalu, and they pray to me. Okay, zu tefila. V'yitpalalu. V'yavakshu panai, they have searched for my face. Zu tzedaka, says the Gemara. Because it says, ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. With tzedaka, I can see your face. V'yashuvu midarcheihem. Does this have something to do with aseres yemei teshuva? This is said about a tzibur that seeks to change a gezerah, and these are the tools that are used to change a gezerah. It has nothing to do with the idea here, and therefore the Rambam doesn't even talk about it. So it turns out, what is the centrality of teshuva, to aseres yemei teshuva, gentlemen? Is it for tzaddikim? No. Is it for rishayim? No. Won't make any difference. It's only for Beinonim. So it turns out that the whole Aseres Yemei Teshuvah is for Beinonim in its essence. They're the only ones that were tailing Ad Yom HaKippurim. Now you ask yourself, what the heck is the chance that somebody could possibly be a Beinoni? So again, as we spoke earlier in the week, if Beinoni was in fact the counter in the sky that automatically defines existentially what you are. You're right. It's insane. There's no such thing as a Beinoni. The chances of being a Beinoni are one in a quintillion. How could you happen to be at the exact instant at the dinner of Rosh Hashanah, at specifically the point in which it exactly equaled every single thing that you did, every thought that you had, every meter that you used, one minute? It's crazy. No such thing could take place. The chances that anybody would be a Beinoni are infinitesimal. But as we saw, there's no such thing as a Beinoni in that sense. Because Zechut and Avon exist as in two separate universes. Mishtamshim b'irvuvia. They have no connection with one another. We don't cancel one out with the other. We, in fact, are personalities that are totally schizophrenic. And the elements of Zechut in us have nothing to do with the elements of Avon in us. We're completely screwed up. We can do things that are mutually exclusive. And we have no problem with it. So how then are we Beinoni? Aha! How are we Beinoni? Only because there is a Shikul. The Shikul creates the state of Beinoni, as we saw. And that was the meaning of what appeared to be a nonsensical statement that Mechtal Mechtal says Beinoni. That was the point the Rambam was making. A Shikul can create a Beinoni. How does it create Beinoni? Does it not still remain infinitesimal, the chances? The answer to that lies in the Diyuk in the Rambam. Take a look at the end, the closing words of Halacha Beis, and we will see why not only is it possible to be a Beinoni, but it's almost inevitable to be a Beinoni. As a matter of fact, in the Gemara in Brachos, Rambam says, to go down a Beinoni, a guy like me, I'm a Beinoni, Rava says. I'm a Beinoni. To which Abaya goes bananas. Abaya says, if you're a Beinoni, we're all dead. But the Gemara doesn't answer that. He was being very serious. We'll see why. It's almost impossible to be anything but a Beinoni. Let's take a look in the way that the Rambam defines it. Remember, he said, Yesh Zechut Sheconeged Kama Avonot. Shnamar Yan Yipso Bo Davar Tov. The Yesh Avon Sheconeged Kama Zechuyot. So there can be a Zechut that is the equivalent of many Avonot. There could be a single Avon that is the equivalent of many Zechuyot. As it says, Chotei Echad Yovah Tova Harvei. Ve'in Shoklin El Bedato Shel El Deot. Only in the mind of the God of mind, which is not really mind, because that's not what Deot means. Deot actually means of interrelationship through mind. Baru Hayodea, dig this, Hech Orchin Azechuyot Keneged Avonot. And we spoke about that word, Aricha. Orchin. Well, what do you mean, Orchin? Orchin is the word that we use for setting up wood in a pile to make a fire. Orchim is the word that we use for editing a newspaper. Aricha. The editor of a newspaper is called the Orech of the newspaper. What in the world does that have to do with Orchim as a Chuyot Keneged Avonot? We're going to be Orech. Anyway, we're going to edit them? Yes, essentially. We're going to put them into a matrix. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to have Zechuyot Keneged Avonot. Which means, by definition, that what? That the Shikul is only defining things relative to each other. It's that same ancient thing. Only relative to each other. In other words, it's the Zechut Keneged the Avon that's measured. Not any scale at all, like this you would think. Okay, only God knows the scale. I mean, the scale being we need to take into consideration the man's psychology, everything that took place in his life, the pressures he was under. This is immensely complex. So we have only that grand supercomputer that could tell it to us. No, that's not what he's saying. You see? He's saying the problem over here is not the data that's necessary to give a value of some kind to a particular zechut or a particular avon. That's not the issue. The issue that is required in El Deot is that we need to be able to see the interrelationship of which the person himself has no idea of And the state, after all, is created only through the interrelationship, which means there is no scale. There is no objective scale whatsoever. It's the interrelationship of the person's own zechut and his own avonot that's important. Which means, on the simplest level, you have a guy, like we spoke about last week. Remember the guy who goes around shooting old ladies and stealing their purses? Now that guy, who is very kind to the old lady who looks like his grandma, you know, it doesn't look like much on the surface. But if you're taking a look at the interrelationship of a man who goes around usually shooting old ladies, and here he does this, it makes a tremendous impact. Suddenly you see light in this darkness. Hey, you mean the guy does have a heart after all? By the way, you know when you've met people that you think are like completely lost causes, and all of a sudden they'll do one thing which makes you say, hey, you know, the guy maybe really is a human being. Maybe he's got his problems. All of us have had that experience. That's an aricha. That's an editing. Because if you saw somebody else do the simple thing that he did, it wouldn't even make an impression on you. But nonetheless, here it does. So that's an aricha of zechut keneged avon. But what does that mean? It means that by definition there's a prejudice in that process of aricha, in which everything tends to balance itself out. Because the worse I am, the more powerful is the small element of good that I do. Or the better I am, the more powerful is the small element of bad that I do, which seems to undo all of the greatness that I've shown myself as. Which is why people jump to conclusions right away when they see a guy who supposedly is this great person, does something terrible, says, he's a total phony. That's not true. He's not a total phony. He's just an orbital culture, mishtamshim berabuvia. But nonetheless, the impact is enormous. Simply enormous. That means that there's a tendency towards finding yourself in the middle. And actually, what the Gemara says in Brachas is that Rabbi Yossi says, Tzaddikim yetzer tov shoftam. Rishaim yetzer ra shoftam. A tzaddik is essentially ruled by his yetzer tov. He's driven. Remember that yetzer is the creative drive. That's what yetzirah means, creation. So he's driven by a desire to construct. The rasha is driven by yetzer ra. Fine. But the beinonim are in real trouble. Why? Because zev is eshoftam. Shenemar, Yamod liyamin evyon. God stands to the right of the poor sucker. Who's the poor sucker? Loshia mishof einafsho. A guy who's being torn in two directions. That's all of us. At that point, Amar Rava says, Rava, you're going, that's people like us. We're torn. We're always torn. So the guy who's made up his mind, he's a Rasha. He's not torn. He's perfectly happy. It's wonderful being a Rasha. The guy who has succeeded in being a tzaddik, he's not torn. He's very happy. Says the Gemara, well, that's why they say the world was created either for tzaddikim gemurim or rishayim gemurim. But to find yourself in the middle is a disaster. That's an evyon. That's a poor slob. But it turns out that the natural tendency of a human being is to find himself in a position of being a poor slob. He is, unless he's done something special with his life, he's taken charge of his life, he's made tremendous choices that have forced him out of the normal box in which he lives, that box will generally push him into a boxed-in state of mediocrity. And that is Beinoniut. Now, somehow or other, that state of Beinoniut is the essential state that the Torah is addressing with Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. We need to understand why that's so. But, you know, what's amazing is that the continuation of the Rambam, in terms of the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah, is essentially the same idea. Because let's take a look at now, examine Halacha Daled, and this will bring us to the next level of understanding Zikaron. Says the Rambam, Af al pi shetkiyat shofar b'rosh hashanah gezeirat ha-katuv. Even though the mitzvah of tkiyat shofar, I can't tell you what it means, and I can tell you what any mitzvah means. God said to do it, we do it. But nonetheless, it's clear that remez yeshbo, I mean, it's saying something. It's talking to you. It makes an impact on you, right? And what is that hint? Klomar, it's as if it is saying, Ulo yesheni mishinatchem unedamim hikitsu miteradamatchem. People who are asleep, wake up! So he's identifying the shofar as an alarm clock. This very simple explanation of shofar. You know, in the Namaz, so you've got all these fancy things, you know. Shofar is supposed to remind you of my separations. Shofar is supposed to remind you of the Tekiyah at Har Sinai. The shofar is supposed to remind you of the shofar of Yitzchak at the Akedah. All kinds of stuff. Says the Rambam, last time I looked, a loud noise was an alarm clock. So the shofar is an alarm clock. So it's saying, anybody asleep, wake up. And if you're slumbering, get out of your state of slumber. Look into your actions. There's something terribly wrong with that, by the way. Because all along, the Rambam has always put it in the Pasuk puts it in the opposite sense. What do you mean, do tshuva and remember your Creator? You're supposed to remember your Creator to do tshuva. I mean, that's the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Zechor es Borachon. Zechor es Borachon, but maybe Bechorot Zecha. And do teshuvah. I mean, that's the word for doing teshuvah. What do you mean? Do teshuvah and remember your Creator. All right. But anyway. Elu hashokhim et ha'emet ba'avlei hazman. Now, who are we talking to? We're talking to people, says the Rambam, who are lost in the emptiness of time. They are forgetting reality. So those who forget reality, in the midst of time, v'shogim kol shnatam v'hav ovarik, and they wander around their entire year in emptiness and nonsense, asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil, which will not be effective for you in any way, which will not save you from anything that you're worried about. To you I say, says the shofar, habitu l'nafshotechem, look at your own selves. And start looking to be better. Be mate of your paths. Be mate of your actions along these paths. Drop doing these horrible things that you're doing. Now again, this is out of order. You're supposed to first drop doing the horrible things that you're doing and then start being good. It's a sur meira v'aseh tov. This is very confused. But, who's he talking to? People who forget. They're wandering around. They're lost in time. He's talking to Beinonim, essentially. Now look at this next piece, because it's maddening. Did the Rambam just say that the only hope for a Beinoni is to do teshuva, correct? It won't help, therefore. It won't help to do Maisim Tov. Furthermore, did the Rambam not stick in the middle when we were in Halacha Beis? What did he say? Everything is right on the knife edge. If you're going to be Avonoteichem or going to be Merubim, then Miyad, you're going to drop dead. The world is going to be Merubim. Miyad is going to be Nishchat. If the country is Merubim, Miyad, it's going to be destroyed, right? That's what he said. That was Halacha Beis. That we had a long discussion in between in Halacha Gimel and the first part of Halacha Dalet, which talked about Tkiyat Shofar. So Halacha Gimel talked about Rosh Hashanah, Halacha Dalet talked about Tkiyat Shofar. It seems that the Rambam suddenly remembered the topic in Halacha Beis. And he says, Lefichach, that's why Tzorich kol adam shir atzmo kol hashanah kula kilu chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayav. You should see himself as very dangerously balanced. The whole world may be dangerously balanced. Chetzio zakai, the chetzio chayav, right in the middle. My God. Chata chetachad, if you do one thing wrong, we're back to that bar mitzvah kid with the kriyashma, right? You do one thing wrong, you just destroy the entire world. You just caused the world to be destroyed. Asa mitzvah achat, you do one mitzvah, you just saved the world. You just saved yourself, saved the whole world with you. Shenemar, as it says, v'tzadik yisod olam. Who is the tzadik yisod olam? Zesh tzadak, the guy who did that mitzvah. He chriyat kol olam l'schut v'yitzilo. Now, I want to point out something over here. He just called Hitler a tzadik yisod olam. Because, I mean, this is true of everybody. I mean, if you're the right guy at the right moment, that happens to be there at the moment that the world is right on the knife edge, and before the next guy does the avera, you do the mitzvah, you see, and you save the world, you are now a tzadik yisod olam. There's absolutely nothing to do with how big of a rush you are. That's insane. I mean, you can't possibly say a tzadik yisod olam. This is Yosef, a tzadik yisod olam. The tzadik yisod olam is the guy who happened to be at the right place, at the right instant, when everything was just perfectly balanced, which, as we said anyway, is absolutely infinitesimal, the chance of such a thing happening. This whole thing is crazy. First of all, it's in the wrong place. This should be the derivation of halacha beit. If he wanted to say that, he should have said it then. Secondly, we already saw that there's no such thing. The din is the only thing that creates that state. We don't see the world being destroyed at intervals. We don't see countries going up and poof the moment that, I mean, why wouldn't this be happening all the time? It never happens. So we saw that it wasn't meant to be taken in that sense. It was only the definition of the end. So what do you mean, tzadik yisod olam? I got to call it tzadik yisod olam, because by accident, he happened to be the one that was there. This is intolerable, but it gets worse. Because of this, because we have already shown you that it will not help to do more mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, or to daven between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The only thing you can do that could possibly save you is teshuvah. And because of that, Nagu Kol Beit Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael, has a minhag to do a lot of ma'asim tovim at tzedakah and to daven between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because after all, it won't do a damn thing for you. What is this supposed to mean? We want to go and really do something at this point. Menagu kulam lakum malayla. It's a minute to get up for slichas during the aseret yemei teshuvah, leitpalel bebate knesiot, and so on. Oh my God, what a mess! And what is happening over here? This is an amazing thing. You know, we're clearly missing the point of the Rambam. I mean, this man, nothing that is being said over here makes any sense. How many people have heard of Mnemosyne? Mnemosyne is the Greek goddess of memory. She is the mother of the Muses. Are you familiar with the Muses? She's the mother of the Muses with Zeus. Mnemosyne comes from the word memory. Like we still use mnemonic, MN, the same spelling even. So the word mnemonic, mnemosis, is memory. However, it did not mean memory originally. The original meaning of the word memory, in Latin as well, meant what zechor really means in Hebrew. Zechor does not mean memory. Let's say God tells you, or better yet, Ma'avdil, let's say a gangster tells you, after you just borrowed $20,000 due on Thursday, and he says, just remember, buddy, Thursday. And what did he mean? Write it down in a notebook and put it in your pocket so that you can look at it, or put it on your computer memory and then you remember it, right? No. What he meant was, If you forget this, you're going to find yourself at the bottom of the East River. That's what he means, right? He means you better walk around with this in mind, because if not, you're a dead duck. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, let's say, Zichor, something, what does he mean? Write it down? No, he means keep it in mind. That's what he means. The word for memory, the original meaning was mindfulness. It was the word for mind. Keep in mind. So even when we say in English nowadays, just remember, that's the sense of remember that we mean, of course. We don't mean that it should be in a bank somewhere, a memory bank. We mean it should be in your awareness. The word for awareness in Hebrew, there is no other word. The word for awareness itself is zechira. To be a zocher is to be aware of something. Which means that when we ask the Rambam, how do you know? You say remez yeshbo. I don't know. I open up my matzah, and I found 10 other explanations of what the tkiyah shofar was. So you tell me remez yeshbo, it means wake up. How the heck do you know it means wake up? Maybe it means think about Yitzchak Avinu on the Akedah. That's going to do a history to it. How does the Rambam know? It's very simple. The Rambam is simply saying, look, if there's a chiyav of Yom HaZikaron, in which you have a chiyav of Zichron Trua, for God's sake, that's what it's saying. It's saying, be aware. And the state of awareness, as opposed to the state of non-awareness, is basically the difference between being asleep and being awake, correct? We think in our own minds when we realize we've just been daydreaming. You say, I was asleep. I mean, literally, you were asleep. You mean your mind was simply not there. You weren't aware of anything. So when he says, Uru Yesheni Mishinatchem, that is the simple meaning of the words Zichron Trua. Let that blessed wake up your mind. Therefore, the meaning of Yom HaZikaron, according to this, is the day of awareness. Now let's take a look again at the Rambam and see if it begins to make sense. The day of awareness. Lefichach, therefore, Tzarech kol adam shiyer atzmo kol hashanah kula, because of the fact that Rosh Hashanah proclaims that a human being must learn to be aware, therefore a person must see himself all year round. This is not a non sequitur going back to halacha beis. This is the direct result of what I just said. Tkiyah Shofar is telling you something. It's telling you, wake up, be aware. Therefore, it implies that all year round, you must be on the knife edge of awareness. How can you be on the knife edge of awareness? Well, imagine the ultimate implications of din. You must see yourself as Chetzio, Zakai Chetzio, Chai of the entire world, in a state of about to collapse the wave function of its zechuyos ve'avonos, and boom, it's all going to be defined by you. Now, somebody who could do that, says the Rambam, somebody who could do that is a tzaddik yisod olam. Not because he happens to be capable of awareness, but that's not the point, because it says, it's zeshet tzaddak, the fact that he did another mitzvah. So what makes him a tzaddik yisod olam? Very simple. Every idiot that goes around and pretends that this is true knows deep in his heart that it's insane. The world has never been destroyed. It ain't going to be destroyed tomorrow. There's nothing to worry about. There's no world that's Chetzio Zakai v'Chetzio Chayav. God is not about to call the innings. What am I fooling? So it is a little trick to make myself pretend that I know what it is to be aware. And that's the element of Tzaddik Yisod Olam. I'll tell you what a Tzaddik Yisod Olam is in simple modern terms. You have a kid who's worried about his dad smoking. So he goes to his dad. He says, look, Dad, I'm really worried. I mean, it says here, the Surgeon General says, I mean, you know, he must know what he's talking about. I'm worried about your health. I want you to live a long life. So his father says, you know, Johnny, I know the Surgeon General says, and the Surgeon General is certainly correct, but I want to ask you something. You think this cigarette's going to make any difference? Just this one cigarette. Am I going to get cancer by smoking one cigarette? Does anybody suggest such a thing? What is the likelihood that this cigarette is going to make a difference? You're telling me my cells are chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayev. All of the other elements that go into creating a cancerous cell are exactly in place. All that we need is this additional stimulus, and nobody has any idea how it works. This additional stimulus of that one particle of smoke is going to hit exactly the right place, in which it's going to combine with all these other elements and with genetic disposition, which may or may not be there, and God knows what else, and a whole history of what these cells were exposed to, and at this exact instant, it's going to give me cancer. Come off it, Johnny. I mean, come on, you're being silly. What does Johnny say? He scratches his head and says, yeah, you know, I guess you're right, Dad. I mean, it's certainly not going to make any difference. Dad is right. He's absolutely right. And in fact, it's exactly what we say to the Rambam. I mean, who are you fooling? The world exactly at the point of balance. This thing being exact. That's crazy. Cannot be. And yet something tells us something's wrong with Dad. It's hard to know what it is, but something is wrong with Dad's approach. Say, well, what's wrong with Dad's approach? Well, because they'll say this about every cigarette. So on his 100 millionth cigarette, it's also true. But by then, it's too late. But it wasn't true at any time, so how did it get to be true at the end? Now, this is always a problem we have with statistics. And the truth is that this is exactly what the din element is all about. It's all statistics in a sense, because it's taking a person, kol echad v'echad b'nei adam, yesho zechuyot v'avonot. Again, this constant movement, it's all moving around, and so on and so forth. We understand that the end result of this process does definitely lead us to an aggregate of din in which we're going to have a state of tzaddik or rush or benoni. So, in fact, the tzaddik yisod olam, who is the intelligent dad, says to Johnny, I don't know about the way these things interrelate. You know? Only God does. It requires el deot to be able to take into consideration the complexity of the interrelationship of the aricha of this cigarette with all of the other elements that go in to forming a cancerous cell. Nonetheless, because I am aware of the totality of the process and the way in which the totality of that process relates to its end, I recognize that you are correct. And I am not going to smoke this cigarette. Because this cigarette is, in fact, all cigarettes to me. Because I now recognize it as being essential and central to that process, in which case, if I throw one out, I might as well throw all of them out, not care about anything, and just go ahead and smoke, which is obviously insane. So the tzaddik yisod olam has arrived at a state of awareness in which his connection of the process to the outside of the two levels of creation, so to speak, is so total, is so clear, that he literally does recognize that everything counts. And if it counts, it's always life and death. The moment that I say, but this doesn't count, I'm forced into the position of saying, nothing counts. And that's true. If I'm living slices of life, nothing counts. But the whole point of the Tkiat Shofar is, wake up, stop being lost in little slices of life, recognize there is a totality, learn to live in a way that is, guess what in English? Memorable. Live memorably. Now what the heck does that mean? So everybody thinks, well, that just means live in a way that will be something nice to remember. Of course that's not what it means. To live memorably is the recognition that every instance of life is going to look totally different to you 40 years in the future, right? I think 40 years from now, you look back at this day and at this year. It may have remarkable poignance for you. You may deeply desire to re-experience. Now, at the time, it's just, oh God, another year and I'm hungry and it's time for dinner and so on. And yet somehow, when you look back, it's a completely different experience. It's like everything. The people that you think you don't care much about, 40 years from now, you may end up realizing you lost the opportunities to relate to them. It's the same thing with every last thing in life. So living memorably means live as if you're already ahead of the game and you are remembering this moment. Say, but remembering a moment is less than experiencing it, isn't it? No. Remembering a moment, remarkably, is more than experiencing it. And everybody knows this. Things are insanely enhanced and much more intense in our memory of them than at the time. Why? Because Zikaron means to remember, to see something as part of a tremendous whole in which it begins to make a difference to the totality. So if you're lost in time and everything is just a slice of life, there's no meaningful opportunities, no meaningful experiences, no moments to care about, because who cares? This moment is going to make a difference? Why would it? But what the Tkiya Shofar is saying is, will you wake up, you ass, and realize that you have a life? It's not saying look to God. It's not saying Zichru Borachem. Wake up and remember your creator. I'm not talking about a creator. I'm talking about you. Habitu l'nafshotechem, look to yourself. That's all I'm asking you. The Shofar is not talking about God. It's saying look to yourself. You know what we say in English when somebody is completely lost in his moment and being absolutely obsessive about some stupid detail and going about this all the time? You know what we say to them? Will you get yourself a life? Now that's exactly what Tkiya Shofar is saying. Will you get yourself a life? What kind of life is this? That's a life? One moment here, one moment there, no moment makes any difference. Since none of them counts and none of them will ever count, and then at the end, what's going to be? Nothing. What kind of craziness is that? Wake up! So the Tzaddik Yesod Olam has achieved a level of awareness in which every aspect of his life is awake in terms of its total. He's going to smoke the cigarette? There's a totality. He's going to waste an opportunity? He's going to say good morning to somebody he may care about very much 40 years from now and say it as if he doesn't care because right now he doesn't feel anything? He's going to kiss a parent goodbye and only later know it was the last time he kissed them? The Tzaddik Yesod Olam doesn't ever think like that. He's always living memorably. It's an amazing thing. So this, the Rambam is saying, that is the mitzvah. Now because of that, we want to live in ways that are memorable. We want to live during Atzeres Yemei Teshuvah in ways that imply to ourselves that we care, that we're involved, and things that we normally wouldn't do, we suddenly look at as opportunities. Do it. Not because it'll change your din. Who's interested in changing your din? We care about more than that. That's the essential point of this halacha. Now, this completely changes our understanding of the Yom HaZikaron as well. Because now you see Yom HaZikaron means not simply the day of memory, and not simply the day to remember, and not even the day to learn about living memorably. It means the day of awareness, which is why there's a Tkiya Shofar. But if we take a look back at Maisa Bereishis, what was it that allowed the interrelationship of those two stories? Well, how did the second story begin? And so it was in the day that God made Shamayim Ba'aretz, and the grass hadn't grown. Grass hadn't grown. You just said the grass grew. No, that's the universe in a nutshell. The grass grew. We're now in the process. The grass hadn't grown. Why? Ki Adam Ayin Lavodat Adama. There was no man. Says Rashi, what do you mean Lavodat Adama? There was no one to be aware. How could the grass grow? There was no one to be aware that there was a need for water in the world. There was no involvement of the process in its own creation. Therefore, comes along man, and the grass turns green. And that's exactly what we do on Rosh Hashanah. What was demanded in the original act of creation? The awareness of a human being. what is demanded of us on the day of recreation? The awareness of a human being. So it becomes a day of awareness, not simply because, look, life really matters, there's a din, you better wake up and watch out. You say a thing about watching out. It's not watching out. It's waking up to life, exactly as the first man wakes up to life. And now what? Well, what's needed in life? What do you do with life? There needs to be water. The earth needs to work. This is my world. It's full of opportunities. What can I do with it? But that's exactly what's asked from you on Rosh Hashanah. So take a look how beautiful this is. The Yom HaZikaron that started off just being a way to remember creation turns out to be a way to remember remembering of creation. And then it becomes a way in which you learn that life is a series of memorable moments. And at the end it becomes Rosh Hashanah, the day in which you become mindful and aware so that you are able to not simply act as if you remember the day of remembering, but so that you become a component in the actual process of the remembering and mindfulness that created the world in the first place. So it's entirely the Zikaron Yom Rishon. It redoes for each and every one of us what it must be to wake up as the first human being on earth and to know I have woken up. And now I need to look. I need to care. I wonder about myself. What am I? What am I doing here? What can I achieve here? So this is the third darga. I'm going over time, so I'm where are we up to? How do you tell the time on this? So it's 1 hour and 2 minutes we've been going. Should I continue a little bit? Am I going to kill supper?
Kill supper.
What? All right, let me just add one small point and we'll go into it more. What this means is that our original question back on Shabbos, which was, so why is Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, we don't even do Teshuvah? We don't even mention sin. The point over here is, what is that Beinoni supposed to be doing? He's supposed to be breaking out of that box that has defined him in ways that gives him no access to eternity. That is Teshuvah. What is being asked of us? To live memorably? To search for an identity? To search for a totality. But that's exactly what the din was, wasn't it? We started off with Kolach Havi'achad Yeshul Tzchiyot V'Avonot. Fine. So we too entered into Rosh Hashanah. Yes, we have this, we have that. Comes along the din now and says, what's the meaning of the this and the that? Connected each other. Yes, and what are we supposed to be doing? Habitu v'nafshoteichem. Where's your life? Get a life. Okay, how do we do that? We start thinking, how does this relate to that? What is my identity? What do I care about? What am I doing? But that means that we are being done ourselves, correct? So it turns out that the very process of the shikul that is taking place from the outside draws us to a position in which we do that shikul for ourselves, because it's demanding of us, get a life. To get a life, I can't be or of a choshech mishtamshim b'ruvuyah, I've got to break out of this. I'm drowning. I don't have anything. That process itself is exactly what is meant by SES Teshuvah. To suddenly see your actions in light of the totality of your life and your concerns, your future and your past, your present and your eternity. That's what the Teshuvah is, as we'll see. So if that's the case, the most central day of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah is the day in which we haven't even begun talking about things that we did wrong. Of course, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about learning to live. And learning to live is itself a process of Teshuvah. And that we will examine during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. I'll leave it at that.